Hola, soy Paola Marizán, and this is ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 A bilingual podcast telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland. Imagine establishing a life in a foreign country that then becomes home, mi casa, even more than where you come from. That's how 21-year-old Laura Ayala feels. Cuando la conocí, inmediatamente vi a reflection of the South American warmth and joy. Long dark hair enrollado in a bun and caramel color skin. She received us with a big smile, lots of energy and rhythm.
My name is Laura.
See, Laura can navigate the city of Cincinnati easier than she can travel through the roads of Bogota, Colombia, because she moved from Colombia when she was just 4. And like many other kids, she went to school without worries about politics or immigration, and her life has flourished in the heartland. Cuando estaba cerca de graduarse de high school, empezó su búsqueda for the best university. Laura began researching online, asking friends, and even attended college fairs to see what it was going to be like to start college and establish a career in Ohio. In one of those fairs, she met a support group for young immigrants and refugees. The Youth Educating Society, or YES for short, would later encourage her to tell her story. You see, when she was just 15, Laura found out she was undocumented. In this episodio, we meet DACA recipient Laura, una Latina that didn't know about her legal status until she wanted to apply for college, and about the taboo many immigrant families have en casa when talking about immigration.
So the first time I told my story, I was very focused on not trying to cry. I was like, I can't cry. I need to stay strong. And I bawled at one point. I just kind of like bawled through the whole thing. I think something that really showed me at that experience was I was able to stop, take a breath, and keep going. That was the first time I'd ever said out loud that I was undocumented. My family before then, like many families, I'm assuming, they tell you not to talk about it. Don't mention it. Anyone ask. It's just something that's there. You don't even really recognize it. But that's something that I started to change, where for me it was important to advocate for me and my family. It was important to understand not just my lived experience, but why did this happen? How does this affect other populations? And that's when I really got interested in the politics of immigration, the different policies that have been in place, the history of how different groups have come here and the different policies that came out of that.
I have to say, no puedo imaginar cómo ella en sus 15 se sintió not knowing her status in the country she calls home. Because we all go through the immigration process differently, and in her admissions essay for the 7 universities she applied to, Laura decided to tell her story.
I mean, I guess your junior year, that's when people start asking, where are you applying to? When are you taking your ACTs and SATs? Have you started applying? And I didn't know any of that process. I remember sitting in the car, my best friend's car, and just crying because it was the first time where I felt like, wow, I might actually not be able to go to college when I would look up the cost of it. I mean, my parents didn't have anything saved up. When I looked at scholarships, it was usually citizenship that was on there, especially the bigger scholarships. Luckily, I had my best friend at the time. Her family kind of took me in and explained to me the ACT, the SAT, how to apply for colleges, how much money that was going to cost. And that's something I'm forever grateful.
Enacted in 2012, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, protects from deportation undocumented individuals who enter the country as minors. As of September of this year, 689,800 individuals were protected under DACA. 5,020 de ellos nativos de Colombia, and 4,000 of them living in Ohio. Y una de ellas es Laura. Entonces, how was that moment when she found out she could get in-state tuition?
Very emotional. Before then, so I'm a first-generation college student. Before then, my family or my parents had always just been like, do well in school and get to the university. That was one of the things that my parents, when we came here, was one of their objectives, to be able to, us to obviously have a better life than they had, but be able to pursue some sort of degree. And I had seen my sister not be able to do that. The time that she graduated, she's 4 years older than me, nothing had happened in regards to immigration. And I saw her kind of disheartened by that situation.
Around Laura's senior year of high school, organizations like LULAC and the Hispanic Chamber of Cincinnati started to catch up with DACA, giving her the opportunity to attend college. So ella fue de no saber su estatus migratorio a no saber si iba a estudiar to feeling like she was definitely going to be able to do what her parents dreamed she would.
Something that was kind of like my role in the family, to be able to be the one that goes to college and does what she wants to do. And to feeling like that wasn't something I was able to do, but now getting this opportunity, I guess you could say it's a roller coaster. I'm in the attitude of, I need to do what I can within these months. I think for a lot of DACA students, for a lot of us who are young, who all we know is DACA, I mean, I got it right when things were starting to hit me as an adult, whether that's a job, driving, school. So for me, I don't know exactly how life is before it as much. I think for a lot of us, we want to fight for something bigger, not just DACA, not just a Dream Act, because as we've seen, it's often used as this political piece to be able to hurt the rest of the immigrant community. I think I'm in a position where I need to do what I can for others. Obviously, I'm fighting for myself as well, but we need to keep in mind that anytime there's these negotiations happen, that we need to put pressure and letting them know we won't put the rest of the immigrant community under the bus for a select few, that we're fighting for as many people as we can, because that's a Band-Aid solution. Whether those 800,000 get something, you still have the rest of them that don't.
Tengo que admitir, I didn't know about this unexplored taboo among Latino families to not talk about their immigration status. That's what touched me the most about this story. No sabía que tan profundo es el miedo con que algunas personas viven, por varias razones. But for Laura's family, this uncertainty is something they've learned to share with each other in hopes of making a change for future generations. Laura graduates from the University of Cincinnati with a double major in international affairs and environmental studies with a minor in Spanish, something she plans on using to influence policymaking in the future. She also plans of becoming a citizen and to continue being an advocate in her community. Today, the status of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals is uncertain, and many have already been affected by deportations. But like Laura, many DACA recipients are still hopeful and fighting for una reforma comprensiva. In our website, quepasapodcast.com, we listed some tips for DACA students from our immigration attorney, Megan Alvarez. See more of our live social media conversations with Megan on our accounts at @quepasamidwest. Y escúchanos en tu app de podcast favorito. Soy Paola Marizán y esto es ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 A bilingual podcast telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.